Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
He is here, and Dick Till is here in about 30 minutes with Davey Trees, talking trees. But Doug's got a lot of exciting stuff to get to. But we always like to invite you to the program to participate, an hour to get all of your gardening questions answered. 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. And here's how it works. If you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you're going to win a gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show, the host with the most, here he is, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I came in to work this morning with a little rain already, which is great news for gardeners. I've been out there certainly watering containers, but I'm hoping for a good rain today. That's going to make a big difference. But as we talked a little bit with Mrs. Know-It-All about fertilization, after rain's a good time to fertilize, especially something like a container, because it'll take that liquid fertilizer. And my favorite liquid fertilizer, it's called Dramatic. It's from the company called Dram, D-R-A-M-M. This is not an ad. That's just what I use. And you can get it two places. You can get it at Hahn Nursery in Ross or Chapin's Greenhouse down south in Baldwin. Both really cool places. And lots of bargains all over the place at different nurseries. And with the rain coming, hopefully, and a little cool off, as gardeners, we're always looking at the weather. This is going to be good planting weather. If you've got to move something, we've got a couple days where it's going to be nice. Look for the deals, the hanging baskets, the veggies. Nurseries are trying to get rid of this stuff. Big veggies, in big pots. That's what I'm going to be going for in the next couple of days. We got a couple of spots opening up, some of these fabric pots I'm going to plant, and it's not too late to plant something like a big giant pepper or a nice sized tomato plant. And in fact, this warm weather is perfect for that. Good time to put a little bit more mulch on. It's good time to put some beans in, another crop of beans. Keep planting out there. I've got this heirloom lily that just opened. It's called Regal, and it just has this kind of white trumpet with a rose-colored throat, and it smells like heaven. And you know me with trying to save money. when the lilies at the nursery, when they stop flowering, they become cheaper. You could buy the bulbs now, and they're at least half price off for lilies. So still plenty of time to plant. I'll be continuing to add hanging baskets as I can find them, and different plants in my containers too. So with the containers where I always say the thriller in the middle, then the filler next to it, and then the spiller. Well, some of my containers, they need a thriller or they need a spiller, whatever it might be. I'm kind of piecemealing them together. Now, don't forget, I have a new television show on CBS Pittsburgh Streaming. It's every Saturday at 9 a.m. It's called In Doug's Garden, brought to you by the Davey Tree Expert Company. But after that Saturday show on streaming, I post it on YouTube. You can find it at DougOster.com. And this week's show, I'm having a lot of fun making these videos. I got a couple ideas for helping pollinators. I'm looking at a cool annual that self-sows itself. It's already blooming. I did nothing. It just throws seeds. Moving a hardy banana plant. That's going to be a gift for a friend of ours. And some harvesting tips. When to harvest. As we're getting into this change in the weather, we're getting into summer. A lot of that, those spring crops are getting harvested now. So I talk about, you know, when to harvest. And also in that show, Luke Warner from Davey comes back and discusses with me my problematic Japanese maple, which has this bad open cavity, which has like moisture in it, and then there's a crack in the tree. He tells me what to do with that. So I'd love it if you'd watch the show, go to the website, DougOster.com, and take a look at what I'm doing in the garden. I'm following the garden through the season. And last week I did my webinar for my upcoming trip to Portugal, and it's not till next spring, but people are already signing up. But don't worry. There's plenty of time to decide if the trip's for you. It has sold out twice before, but was right in the middle of COVID. 13 days, we're going to go to Lisbon, then the Azores Islands, Madeira Flower Festival. It's just the Madeira Botanical Garden, Terra Nostra Botanical Park, the Portuguese Riviera. We'll be all over Portugal. And as I said, it's not till April, but you can watch the webinar now. It's taped just with a link. And you can see every stop with pictures and exactly what's going to be on this trip. And that's all at DougOster.com. But as I said, plenty of time to think about it. Decide the trip's right for you. The other thing I'm doing is I'm also, I can't believe it, but there's still free compost out there in Ross Township and maybe other townships too. I don't know why people aren't getting it. But, you know, as I always say, compost is the building block of all gardens. And, you know, if you can get it for free, why not? If you can't get it for free, you know, get it by the bag. That's what I do a lot. You know, I'm up at Ross Township with the truck. Sometimes there's not time for that. I get a couple bags at the nursery. Just every time I plant, always adding compost. And as I said, when I was at the nurseries poking around, I have my eyes on those big tomato and pepper plants, because it's just instant. You know, they're already covered with fruit. It's great. You can just stick them in, and there's still a lot of gardening season left. You know, my last planting of tomatoes doesn't go in until July 4th, believe it or not. And I'm picking varieties that will put on tomatoes quick. Sun Gold, Early Girl, 4th of July, Red Racer. And putting those in at the end of the planting season, and they will catch up, believe it or not. But it has to be an early variety, because they love the warm soil, love the warm air temperatures. That's what tomatoes and peppers go for. That's why I'm getting the big ones and putting them in. The more the merrier. And then our main crop will come in later in the season with all our favorite heirlooms and that sort of thing. You know, I did get an interesting question from a listener. Online. I answer questions after the show at DougOster.com, but I would certainly love to talk to you here too. We've got some time to talk after this first break. But they sent a picture of these redbud leaves, and they had like a half moon perfectly cut out of them. And they were like, what could this possibly be? You know, is this a trouble for the redbud tree? And it's like, no, those are actually leaf cutter bees that are taking that out of the tree. So it's no big deal for the redbud, but definitely weird looking to see that on those beautiful heart-shaped redbud leaves, and all of a sudden there's a half moon out of each one of them. Another question I get all the time is about pruning tomatoes, about taking those suckers off, and I don't do it. It's just I'm too lazy. I put that tomato in the ground, water it, mulch it, put a cage on top of it, and it's good to go. Because people say that when you cut that sucker off, you'll get more production in fruit. But the other people say if you leave the sucker on, it gives the fruit a little shade, which it needs. So it's all up to the gardener.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take your telephone calls still to come. Dick Till, Davey Tree, Talkin' Tree. All of our lines are open, so if you have a question for Doug, now give us a call, 866-391-1020. You know, because local business like EV True Value, KDK Radio would like to celebrate why EV True Value helps make Pittsburgh someplace special. Join Rick Dayton on location at EV True Value on Thursday, June 30th from 3 to 6 p.m., celebrating this local business. Doug and I, back with more in a moment on KDKA, the Organic Gardener. Well, I must tell you, That was a wonderful ad from Mr. Sorgel.
How about that?
We
huh?
all love you, Doug.
Can I get the free $15 worth of plants if I go in there and say I love Doug? That's what I want to know.
How about if I just give you $15 and save Randy the few dollars somebody's going to, because somebody else will get it, I'm sure.
Oh, that's such a cool thing.
It is.
Thanks, Randy. Yeah, go up to Sorgel's.
And he read it just like you wrote it.
There you go. Go up to Sorgel's, tell the cashier I love Doug, and you'll get some free plants. I like that idea. That's
great.
I do,
too. Good stuff. 866-391-1020. Gloria. Gloria, you're on KDK. Hi, Gloria. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a yew busher tree. It's that YEW.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been in the ground for a while. It's a, it goes back a long ways, but it started as a very small plant. Someone gave it as a gift. And now, with all the rain and everything, it's grown quite a bit. And I'd like to cut it back and cut it down. I'm afraid it might get out of bounds because it's in an area where it doesn't have that much room to become a tree. And I was wondering if I would cut some back now, would it harm the tree, or do I have to wait to do this at another time of the year?
No, actually, you could probably get away with it now, especially as we're getting a little bit of a cool down here as this front comes through. You know, the good thing about that plant is that it does respond really well to pruning. So you could prune it, you know, when we're talking about cutting things back, we never take more than one third of the plant off.
Okay, so you mean from the top to the bottom, one third?
Yep, or all the way around. Just in general, you don't want to stress that plant too much.
And okay.
Also, pruning is an art, and so you really have to carefully look at your cuts and what you want to accomplish. You know, first off, decide, you know, why am I cutting this back? You're afraid it's going to get out of bounds, or is it out of bounds already?
Well, is it the point where if it keeps on raining, and this rain seems to have a lot of vitamins in it, it could grow much more, and I'm afraid it might do that.
So just keep an eye on it and trim it back as needed. You know, you don't want to wait too late in the season to do your trimming, so I would get to it as soon as I could because we don't want new growth coming onto that shrub that can't harden off before winter. But we have plenty of time to do it. So I would get out there during this cool spell and carefully cut back that shrub to where you want it, all right?
Well, here's what I was thinking, too, is the roots of this type of a bush, are they the type that spread or do they go deep? Because I don't know whether there's a sore line under there or what.
Don't worry about roots on a shrub like that. It, you know, they plant them next to houses since the beginning of time, so no sweat there. Don't worry about the roots.
Joan, you're on KDK with Doug Oster. Go ahead.
Hi, Doug. I did a part of my yard in the no-mow May, in May, all during May. Cut it down the last day of May, weed whacker. It will not come back.
Oh.
The grass is dead.
So it's probably gone dormant just because of the heat. You know,
well, the thing that is, it, you know, we had all that rain there at the end of May, mm-hmm. and it, you know, should have replaced itself really well. Of course, now it is dry. Is there anything I can do? I tried reseeding.
So what are we looking at here? We're looking at nothing? We're looking at just dirt, or we're looking at...
It's all patchy, just very, very patchy.
Then, yeah, you know, reseeding, see what you can get to sprout. Keeping it moist is going to help, you know. But if you have grass in there that's like already kind of brown and such, it's gone into a dormant state, and we need to just wait till things cool off and we get a little bit of rain. With this rain, hopefully this rain that we're getting will help. And the main thing is to get that seed to sprout. That's the thing, which means when you put that seed on there, you usually put something on top of that seed to keep it in place, straw or compost or something like that. And it as long as that seed stays moist in this weather, it will sprout. But I worry about when things dry out.
So when do we actually get to that point where it starts to dry out? How many days are we looking at when it starts to get
scary? We're already there.
Are we?
Yeah, it's been awful dry That's why I'm really looking forward to this rain today, if we get it. You know, I had a little bit of rain on the drive-in, just a sprinkle. But, you know, looking at the radar, we crossing our fingers for a little bit of rain. Other than that, get out there and water. You know, if, in the case where you're seeding a lawn, when you don't get rain, you got to water. You know, you got to keep that seed moist, or otherwise it's not going, all that work you went through to plant it, it's not going to sprout.
And what thrives in this hot weather? Anything?
Yeah, all sorts of sun-loving perennials, coneflowers, salvias. You know, I've become a salvia, obsessed with salvias, because it's about the only thing left in my garden the deer don't eat. And so salvia is just, you know, that was something I was out watering yesterday, because they're in containers, but they love that hot, dry climate. Coneflowers, penstemon. I'm just going through my head what the hillside pollinator garden looks like. Daisies at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden. I was out there Saturday. I took some of my students from Osher Pitt there, and we had a blast. That is a cool place. If you haven't been out to the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, check it out. It's very cool, up by Settler's Cabin, halfway to the airport from downtown.
Mr. Till is in the building. What are we going to be doing with him in a couple minutes?
Pests and diseases, and I've got lots of questions, and I'm sure you might too. You know, what's going on with your trees as far as pests and diseases are happening? Give us a call, 866-391-1020, and we can talk trees.
Hey, he's here, so let's talk to him. Pull that microphone up there, sir. Right there. Perfect. So how are you?
Good.
You're the first arborist back in the studio since 2020, right, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I wanted to get him on the air here before we actually bring up the curtain on talking trees.
I'm honored.
How have you been?
Good. Busy.
Life treating you good?
I'd like to say you look good, but...
He does, man. The Paul Bunyan of the tree world. Look at them forearms, man. That's from hard work.
That's from climbing trees. Right. We don't have forearms like those, Rob.
No.
Just pushing this mic up a little bit. Ooh, my back.
I have a hard time getting from the first floor to the second. You know, come on. Hey, so how is your golf game?
It's
there.
Yeah, it's there. I don't have enough time to go golfing. I'm too busy working and working around my house and trying to go for a ride on Harley and visit my grandkids.
That'd be like saying there's not enough time for fishing.
Well, that's the other thing. I haven't got a fishing license in 5 years, I'm embarrassed to say.
Oh, man.
Doug will get you out there. All right. So how's your fishing going?
Oh, mine is great. I'm not going to let anything like my family get in the way of fishing.
Listen, he's the modern era Babe Winkleman. He's everywhere, folks. For those of you old enough to remember the great American outdoorsman Kirk Gowdy and, of course, legendary Babe Winkleman. All right, we'll come back. Dick Till is here. Insects, pests, all those little things that cause you problems outdoors. We're going to give you some answers. And, again, if you have a question as far as trees are concerned, I highly urge you to get on the phone now at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Coming up a couple of minutes, Rob Taylor back with that news at the bottom of the hour. Rob Pratt Sunday rolls on with Doug and Dick Till in just a couple of moments. KDK 100.1 FM, AM 1020. Good morning.
We're joined by Dick Till from the Davey Tree Expert Company in studio. This is awesome. The first arborist in since COVID. Talking about pests and diseases. Welcome back, Dick.
Thanks for having me, and it's a little different than sitting at my kitchen table talking to you guys. It's nice here.
So I want to start off with pests, and what have we seen as far as the spotted lanternfly is concerned? Have you seen it a lot? Not much? What's going on?
You know, it's still a huge problem out east, you know, a little more on the east coast. Philadelphia, you know, they're getting hammered with them. We're finding them. Spots here and there. There's like little hot spots. We were doing some work down on the railroad tracks up off of 28. And the main way these lantern flies are moving around is they're hitchhiking. You know, they'll get on trains and cars and trucks, and they'll even lay their egg masses on vehicles that are moving across the state. And they're like, so once they set up shop somewhere, then they kind of expand from those little hot spots. So they're still coming this way slowly, and we're just telling people to be vigilant if you see those.
And know what they look like, right? That's one thing.
Yeah, and they're actually kind of pretty. You know, they almost look like a moth with all the pretty colors. But they are leaf hoppers, you know, so they don't truly fly. The wind will blow them, and like I say, they're hitchhiking. That's the way they get around. And especially if you have ailanthus trees, Tree of Heaven, that's one of their favorite foods. But the problem with them is they go after fruit trees, all the stone fruits, barley. I mean, I think there's, you know, 70 or 80 species that that they really like. But the Tree of Heaven seems to be their favorite.
Well, we don't care about the Tree of Heaven. It's just everything else is what we care about.
Right, and that's a lot of times.
I think especially for fruit producers, that's going to be scary.
Right, right. But yeah, we'll get into areas, like I said, along the railroad tracks where these opportunistic, you know, they're basically weed trees. So that's one of the methods is we've get rid of the ailanthus trees and hopefully, you know, dissuade them to come this way.
And what can you do if you have an infestation of spotted lanternfly? Can they be treated?
Yeah, there are treatments, systemic treatments. We can inject in the ground to go through the tree. You know, the main thing, if they're down low and you can just squish them, that's good old bottom of the shoe, you know.
But they, like, jump off. I've seen it where there's an out east, they just the entire bark is just covered with hundreds of them, and they kind of jump off and then fall back on.
Yeah, and they're, you know, when they feed on the trees, they drink the sap, eat the sap, and then what they excrete is basically sugar water, and that's where you get the honeydew, you know, growing on the sugar water, and it attracts ants and bees and, you know, other little insects that love sugar water.
Yeah. And Japanese beetles going crazy out there, getting a lot of messages about Japanese beetles.
Yeah, this is the time of year that Japanese beetles are out. And you can tell on your trees, their main damage is called skeletonizing. So you'll see your leaf with just the veins and nothing in between the veins. That's the damage that the Jap beetles do. And, again, they love fruit trees, any apples, crab apples, peaches, pears. Birch trees they really like, and linden trees are one of their favorites. And this is just the time of year when the adults are out, and they're mating, and they're laying their eggs. And then when the eggs hatch, that's when the little grubs come out, and that's when you get problems in the lawn. And but, you know, it's not only Japanese beetles. There's, you know, the June bugs and European chafers, and there's a lot of little grubs that 'll eat the roots of your turf and other plants.
So do you treat for the grubs? Or adults or both?
Both. I mean, if you have real bad infestation on your trees, you know, you can treat for those. But this is also the time of year to do the grub control on your lawn and try to help break the cycle so they don't, you know, mature and turn into
beetles. If you just had them on a rose or a rose of Sharon or something like that, go out in the morning, just knock them off. If you don't have an infestation, knock them off into a little jar of soapy water. That'll take care of things for you. What other pests?
Well, there's a lot of sucking insects out there, different scales and aphids and lace bugs. You know, these are all insects that suck the juice out of the leaves and weaken the plants. But besides that, some of the leaf eaters, bagworms, are starting to come out now.
Yeah, explain what that is, the bagworm, what that looks like.
And their favorites, they can get almost anything, but you see them more often on evergreens like arborvitaes and spruce trees and hemlocks. And it seems that whatever the adults were feeding on and where they lay their eggs, you know, that's the species. That's what they prefer. But this is the time of year when the little tiny ones are just starting to make their bags. And a lot of people mistake them as cones. Like, if you ever see a cone on a hemlock or an arborvitae, it's just a little tiny half inch or inch long cone. Well, if you see these little bags right now, they're actively feeding and making their bags bigger. So on a still day, you can see these little bags, you know, actually moving around. And they can really, if they really get established, you're looking at top of an arborvitae, it's all turning brown, and you got to take a closer look to see what they're doing there. And, you know, they're feeding, and they can really do some damage.
And if you can get to them, what do you do with them?
Yeah, you pull them off, and again, just step on them, squish them, or put them in some soapy water and some Crisco oil or something.
Eventually,
like that.
How big does that bag get?
Those bags can get to be, you know, over an inch and a half. You know, they can get to be really big. And they'll overwinter. They'll lay their eggs in the bag, so the eggs will overwinter in the bag. So even in wintertime, if you see bags, it's good to pull them off and mm-hmm. destroy them.
So know what those look like for sure, too.
Right, right. Like I said,
we do get a lot of calls this time of the year about that problem.
Right. And then there's a newer pest around. It's called a cypress tip moth, and some of their damage looks kind of like bagworm damage, but, you know, there's no bag there. So.
And what's the control for that? Is this something moving from the south, or is this something that's an invasive that came like?
We're just getting samples, sending samples to our lab, and it's coming back with that diagnosis. Hmm. Or it's still kind of a new one on
wow.
us, so we're still working on that one. But, yeah, this is a time of year when, you know, all the plants have all their nice succulent growth out, and the leaf suckers love it, and the leaf chewers love it, and, you know, just keep an eye on things, and, you know, if you see something out of the ordinary, because a lot of times the damage that the leaf eaters do isn't so bad. I heard you talking about the cutter bees and
right.
all that, and people get worried, you know, my leaves are looking kind of raggy or there's holes in them, but there's still so much green, so much chlorophyll in the leaves there, that the leaves are still photosynthesizing food for the roots. So a lot of times it's more an aesthetic problem than, you know, it's not going to outright kill the tree.
You know, I often like to ask this question. I think I know what the answer is from you. Favorite tree to plant?
Well.
And nice. I know it has to be right tree, right place.
Right, right. I mean, if you're looking for a nice shade tree, you know, I was always a fan of the sugar maple.
I knew it.
I
always expect an arborist to tell me, you know, contorted Stewardia weeping cherry tree, but no, sugar maple, because it is a great shade tree.
It is, and it's indigenous to the area, and you don't have to worry about...
Great fall color.
Yeah, beautiful fall color. They're strong, and, you know, not a lot of natural enemies around here. They're just easy to care for, and they're a beautiful tree.
I always tell people when they ask me, what do I plant under my sugar maple? I say, a bench.
Yeah,
that's a hard place to grow things.
I got some viburnums growing underneath mine, and it gets a little bit of ambient sunshine underneath there, so still get some flowers on my viburnums, but they do pretty well.
And the deer don't touch them?
No, they're pretty good with those, but they eat my hostas on the way to my viburnums. That fills them up pretty good.
Join the group.
Yeah.
My hostas are growing inside the vegetable garden now because I can't grow them outside the fenced-in garden because the deer have gotten so bad. I got at least 3 little bucks running, and that means who knows how many does are running around, and they're all hungry.
Well, where I live in Washington County, they're just everywhere. And this year I put up a metal fence around my garden box. We got our tomatoes and peppers in there. Last year I had some netting, and that's what I told my wife. Well, you know, they're not going to push the net down and get in there. Well, they stampeded my garden, so now I got a metal fence up this year.
Good stuff.
Short break. We'll come back much more. And if you want to do that closing to take us to a break, that would be great.
You know, I was struggling with that, didn't she? I was trying to find it. For more information about Davey Tree or ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
We'll be back. Sunday lineup rolls on. Rob Pratt Sunday. Doug is here. The organic gardener, Dick Till, taking your questions about trees. Davey Trees and Mr. as in the TC family. Joe and Frank are in the building. Coming up next hour, the Coons Cooking Hour. We're going to be talking kids-friendly meals today on the show. But up first, let's go and say hi to Cindy in Allison Park. She's on KDKA. Hey, Cindy, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to know, when is the best time to trim a magnolia tree?
Well, best time is after it's done flowering.
Is it too late?
It depends. The early flowering, saucer magnolias, star magnolias, this is a good time. But the sweet bay magnolias right now, a lot of those are still flowering. But yeah, you want to do it when they're done flowering. If you wait too long, then you'll end up cutting off some of the flower buds for next year.
Talk real quick about pruning and the art of it and the science of it. And just don't go out there willy-nilly with a
right.
pair of pruners.
Yeah, you just don't want to go cutting the tops off them to try to make them smaller. You got to cut them back to lateral branches and don't leave any stubs. And You know, it's kind of an art also, you know, kind of as you're doing your trimming, step back a little bit and, you know, you have to have an end game plan, like what you want it to look like. And, you know, just don't whack the top off and leave a stub, because then those sprouts that come out, they'll send multiple shoots out. And then
worst thing you can do is top a tree, right? Cut the top off.
Right. Yeah, and they'll start rotting at the tip where you cut it off, and the tips can die back more. And the shoots that do come out will grow out of control. They'll grow, you know, five times as fast as it normally would.
Take your time with that magnolia.
Right.
Here's Larry up next for Mr. Till and Doug Oster on KDK. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
What's your question?
I got a blue spruce tree. It's about 40 foot tall. One third of it is dying off. Is there anything I could spray on it to save it, or it's time for a chainsaw?
Is that the bottom third? Is it dying from the bottom up?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a disease called cytosporic canker, and that's real prevalent around here. And if your tree's that big, it's prime time to get that disease. When the blue spruce are young and growing real vigorous, they can fight off this disease. It's called a vascular wilt, and it gets inside the internal microscopic plumbing of the tree and plugs it up. You know, it's like having clogged arteries.
Why'd you look at me when you said clogged arteries?
the problem is that blue spruces are not indigenous to this area, and this fungus doesn't live in their natural range. You know, if they're in the Rocky Mountains or the Northeast or even upstate Michigan where it gets cold, the disease does not survive there. But people love blue spruces, and they try to plant them around here. And
so with one that big doing what it's doing, should the arborist come out to look at it first before you?
Yeah, well, if the bottom limbs are completely dead.
No, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's time for the chainsaw.
Yeah, it sounds like it's time for the chainsaw. And that's what I tell people when it gets so ugly you can't stand it, that's when it's time to cut them down.
All right. I know it's not good news, but what can you do?
Yeah, and people want to plant blue spruces all the time. They ask me, well, will you plant? I say, no, you know what, there's a lot of other plants out there that'll make it and do well. And the blue spruces are pretty, but the older they get, the more susceptible they are to this disease. And any mature blue spruce you see in Pittsburgh is going to have cytosporic canker.
So have you been seeing any fungal issues with maples? Because I've been hearing a little bit from people about some kind of brown spots or something on their maple leaves. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Right now, you know, when the leaves are mature and the leaves are starting to harden off, you can still get some fungal spores that can land on a leaf and germinate and, you know, make little brown spots or even, you know, make holes in the leaves. But again, there's still enough leaf surface that the leaves are still photosynthesizing food for the roots, so it's not going to physically hurt the tree. It's more of an aesthetic problem.
How has the season been in general, tree-wise?
Good, good. You know, it's got kind of a slow start, but, you know, things are picking up. And, you know, those late frosts that we had early were kind of rough on the fruit trees, the flowering trees, right when they were coming into flower. You know, we had those two nights where it went down in the 20s, so a lot of crab apples got beat up. And even the magnolias, you know, those saucer magnolias, as soon as they're in full bloom, that's when it's time for a freeze in Pittsburgh, you know, our last frost. But
how about water-wise? Have you guys had to water trees or not yet?
We're getting to that point right now. But if you do have containerized, you know, we still have trees at our shop that we're trying to get in the ground. And if you got those black plastic containers and they're out in the sun there, you've got to water them daily. And you know, once things are in the ground and, you know, you do the regular watering, the slow, deep watering, you know, every couple days. And we're lucky now. We're still, you know, at least once a week we've been getting a decent rain. So the woody plants they're doing all right. But, yeah, just keep an eye. If you start to see the leaves wilting a little bit, you know, make sure you do a nice deep watering. And, you know, you don't water them every day and water them shallow. It's a good deep watering.
And people, they don't understand, especially with new tree planting, spring planting, you got to continue that. When things dry out, you got to continue that watering,
right?
You know,
especially that first year until the roots really get established. And, you know, even if they're a year old and we go through 3-4 weeks without any rain, you still got to do the nice deep watering, and it's water, man. It's everything needs water.
Let's go for some rain. All right, thanks, yeah. Dick. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. I'm answering questions after the show at DougOster.com when I get back. Check out my new video there along with information about my spring trip to Portugal. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
And if you're at Sorgles,
say, I love Doug, and you get a free $15 worth of annuals. I'm headed there next.
They will recognize you. You know that, don't you?
I'll just wear some glasses and a hat. And
anyway, hey, Dick, it was great seeing you.
Hey, good seeing you guys, too. And
nice to have
thanks
you
for
in
having
the,
me.
Nice to have you in the studio again.
Keep up the great work. All right, news coming up, and then it's kid-friendly meals, Coon's Cooking Hour.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.